The Maaser Rav in Os Kuf Ayin Zayin, the second piece on Hilchos Pesach, writes, B'Shavas HaGadol B'Mincha, Ein Omrim Avadim Hayinu Mitam HaMavor B'Mechilta. So he says that on Mincha of Shavas HaGadol, you should not say the Haggadah starting with Avadim Hayinu, sorry. And it's the reason for this is explained in the Medrash. Right, v'nitkana b'haggadah, and not only that, but we actually quote this medrash in the Haggadah, where it says Yachol Mirash Chodesh Tamid Lomar Bavurzeh Mishah Shematzamar v'chule. So, what is this talking about? So, we know the medrash tells us that Yachol Mirash Chodesh. I might have thought we're supposed to start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim already starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tamid Lomar b'yomahu. So he says it should be on that day. So he said, maybe if it says Bayomahu Yachol Mibol Yom, maybe I could start talking about an Erev Pesach when we're bringing the Karban Pesach. So he's saying, no. Tam lomar bavur zeh. Zeh always refers to something when you're mara be'etzba. You show with your finger this thing. So we darshan from that, Mishah she'esh matzo maror munachim lefanecha. That it's dafka when the matzo maror is supposed to be in front of us, i.e. when we're supposed to eat it. And therefore we understand that the mitzvah v'gadol mincha is specifically at the time of Achilas Matzah and Achilas Mara, which is only the night of the 15th. So the Gra is coming out and going against the Shita of the Ramah. The Ramah in Simen Taf Lamed, Sif Aleph, when the brief discussion of Shabbos HaGadol in Shulchan Aruch, writes that there is a minug on Shabbos HaGadol to say the Haggadah from Avadim Ayinu till the Chaper Al Kol Manaseinu, which is basically right before the end of Magid. And the minug is to do this following Mincha, because that was the beginning of the Zman Geula. Now, this is not the Ramah's invention, this particular minhag. The minhag goes all the way back to the times of the Gaonim. The Rav Yah in Siman Tav Chaf Hei quotes that this comes all the way from the Seder Rav Amram Gong, the first published Seder that we are aware of. And specifically, the Rav Yah explains that the children had the practice of reviewing the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol. And the reason for this is that the children should be familiar enough with the text of Haggadah that they can ask questions at the Seder. So it's sort of the children prepping to be able to ask their parents good questions so they would go through the text of the Maggid so they would be familiar with it. Which is, you know, interesting as a development unto itself. But interesting also that to note that it doesn't say the children would be able to say Divrei Torah specifically to ask questions. They want to be able to ask their father questions, and their father or their mother would be able to answer these questions for them. That is the way it's quoted in the Rav Yah. So already we can note that the Rav Yah is not exactly what the Ramah says. The Ramah says that it was the minig for everyone to do it, not specifically children. And he said it was because this was the Zman of the Geula, not because it was a preparatory act for the sake of asking questions at the Seder. Now that's just one minor difference. But if you the source of the Ramah itself is originally in the Darkei Moshe, where the Ramah wrote the Darkei Moshe on the Beis Yosef, not on the Beis Yosef, on the Tour, and the Ramah doesn't cite the Rav Yah, rather he quotes it from the Minhagim of Rav Isaac Miturna. And he writes that there's a minig for everybody to review the Haggadah. He doesn't give a reason for it. He just says that's the minig. And the way the Rav Yah records it is recorded in the Maharil. And the Ramah doesn't seem to give any of these reasons. And Dafka in Shulchan Aruch, he says this was the beginning of the Geula. Now, what does it mean that Shabbos Haggadol was the beginning of the Geula? So there are two basic background understandings of this. Shabbos HaGadol is called the Great Shabbos because of the nace that took place. That is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and that could be referring to one of two possibilities. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, it was Thursday, and Tosfos says, based on this idea, that they took if the original Pesach was on a Thursday, so they took the Karban Pesach into their homes on the previous Shabbos. So this was not something that was done privately. It was done in full view of the Mitzrim. And the Mitzrim came to the Jews and said, what are you doing? And they said, we are bringing these into our homes because there's going to be a major makas b'choros, and Hashem commanded us to bring this karban and to protect our houses with the dam of this karban, and we are not going to be subject to any of the horrific events of the day, but you are going to lose all of your firstborns. So based on this, many of the b'choros went to Paro and demanded that they set the Jews free. And Paro obviously refused, and they led some type of mini rebellion against Paro, which led to many of the Egyptians falling in battle, which was considered the beginning of the redemption. That is the Medrash quoted by Tosfos. The Tur says something a little less fantastical, but he just points out that this is in Siman Taf Lamed in the Tur, where the Mitzrim were told, we're going to take your Avodah Zarah and we're going to offer it as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you would assume the Mitzrim would say, no, you won't. You're not going to do that at all. We're going to stop you. And in fact, they did not do anything of the sort. They were unable to do anything to stop the Jewish people. And that was a nace unto itself, that they sort of stood there powerless and had to watch as the Jewish people took this Avodah Zarah of theirs as a korban. Either way, there was some sort of nace that involved the beginning of the taking of the Karban Pesach as the beginning of the Geula from Mitzrayim. Now, this is the background that the Maaser Rav was discussing over here. The Gra, in his commentary, in his Biur on Shulchan Aruch, understands that the Ramah is flowing off of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said it's called Shabbos HaGolah because of the nace, and because it's the Shas HaNace, we read the Haggadah at that time. This may or may not be shot in the Ramah. However, that is the Gra's understanding of the Ramah. And it's noted that, as we said before, the Ramah just quotes that there is such a minig. He doesn't say it's a preparatory minig. He specifically seems to indicate that it was because of the Shas HaNes. It's possible that the Ramah is going with the original minig of the Rav Yah, and he's saying that it's designed to prepare yourselves to ask good questions or say good divrei Torah or to just be able to answer your children's questions. And really, that's why everyone's doing it. If that is indeed the case, then it's possible the Gra would not have such a problem with it. It's possible that he still would. But nevertheless, the Gra says that this is not a proper minug because there is a Gzeiros HaKasuv that says you're only supposed to read the Haggadah on Pesach. There's no Indian to read the Haggadah any other time, despite the fact that there's nothing wrong with reading the Haggadah at that time. It's clear the Ramah doesn't think you're being Yotzei the Mitzvah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, on Shabbos Haggadah. You have to wait until Pesach to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not on Shabbos Haggadah. So it's kind of hard to understand what the Gra finds objectionable about the Ramah's Shita. So at the end of the day, the Ramah's saying you should prepare yourself and do a good job in advance. The Pula Sakir offers an interesting explanation for this Machlokas. So again, it's notable that the Ramah doesn't tell us why we're supposed to do this. If you look at the Mishnah Brura, his commentary on the Ramah, so the Mishnah Brura quotes B'Shem Achronim that the reason we say the Haggadah is Lefi Shehoisa Bo Haskolas HaGeula V'Hanisim. This was the beginning of the Geula and the beginning of the Nisim. So again, the Mishnah Brura understands that the Ramah is flowing straight from the Machaber and that it's called Shabbos HaGadol because of the Nes, and because of the Nes, we read the Haggadah. It's not preparatory. However, the Pula Safir understands the Ramah somewhat along the lines of the Rav Yah, i.e. it's preparatory. So how does the Pula Safir has a very interesting chiddush over here. So how does he explain? So he quotes Halach in Hilchos Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch in Simen Ayin Resh Hey, we don't like to say Resh Ayin Hey, so we say Ayin Resh Hey Si'if Aleph, quotes straight out of the Gemara that there is a Gzeira, you're not allowed, if you're by yourself, you're not allowed to read by a candlelight on Shabbos, for the Gzeira is called Shema Yata. Maybe you're going to lean the candle. Now in those days, candles did not look like our candles, they looked like what we call a lamp from like Aladdin and the Genie, where there's the, if you can envision such a lamp, you put the oil in the middle of the lamp where there's a wide opening, and then you stick the wick in the front of the lamp, and the back of the lamp has a little handle where if your lamp is running out of oil, you tip the lamp forward and more oil runs into the wick, and the wick can absorb the oil and the flame can get bigger. Now, any amount of increasing a flame on Shabbos is a violation of Havara min HaTorah. And that's one of the 39 Malachos, right? We know there's a Machlokas, Havara Lelav Yatzah, Lecholot Yatzah. But in the end of the day, it is one of the 39 Malachos, and you certainly are not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And Chazal said, it's such an easy Malacha to violate under these circumstances. You're reading by candlelight. If anyone has ever tried to do this, it is not easy to do. And therefore, there's going to be a big Yetzer Hara to just reach over to the lamp and to tip the lamp a little bit and add some fuel to the fire, thereby violating the Malacha d'Oraisa and being Mechal Shabbos. And thus, they said that if you're all by yourself, you're not allowed to read by candlelight. You have to have a shomer, or you have to, or you're not allowed to read under those circumstances. So the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Tes quotes an exception that it's permissible to read on, it's permissible to read the Haggadah on Leil Pesach, even if Pesach comes out on Shabbos, because there is a heter to read what we call Rashi Prakim. Nowadays, I guess we call them headlines. Basically, if you're not trying to read in detail, you're just trying to read the Rashi Prakim, then we're not afraid you're going to get so engrossed that you're going to forget yourself and you're going to end up violating Havara. So Shulchan Aruch Paskin and Seif Tes, you're allowed to read the Haggadah because everybody knows the Haggadah. Haggadah is a pretty famous work, to say the least. And you're not going to be so unfamiliar with it that you're going to have to tip the candle in order to read it better. So that is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So based on this halacha, the Pula Sachir suggests that the Rama is concerned that over the course of last year, we know we have a klal in Chsavelus, that after a year, there's a little bit of a shikha in general. We pass in this way by Parsha Zachor, that people tend to forget things after a year. And thus, there is a concern that maybe a year has passed, and certainly this year, where last year was a leap year, so it's been more than 12 months, so it's been some time since the previous Pesach. And if the Seder, if the Seder comes and you're all by yourself, we're going to consider it that you can't rely on this heter of Rashi Prakim because you yourself might not be so familiar with the Haggadah, and thus you should review it prior to the Leila Seder so that it would be considered Rashi Prakim for you. So that would be the reasoning for the Ramah. Again, not exactly like the Rav Yah, not exactly like the flow of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's preparatory and therefore it's not such a big deal, but there is a specific goal in mind that you should be familiar enough with the Haggadah that if you find yourself in such a situation, you'll be able to read it even by candlelight. Now, the Gra would still object to this because we know there's a klal in general, and we have this other places in the Maaseh Rav and in the literature of the Gra. We just don't impose new minhagim on the tzibur, specifically in terms of having to read extra things. So you're not allowed to read more than one Shir Shal Yom. You're not allowed to impose extra Krios and extra Aliyos in the Krios HaTorah. And adding parts to the liturgy in general is something the Gra was very, very opposed to as a formal takana. It doesn't mean that he would have opposed perhaps reading it on your own, but nevertheless, he was not into making established minhagim or dinim derabanan or adding to the siddur prakim of Tehillim that you're supposed to read. He opposed, things like L'davar Hashem Ori being added during the month of Elul because you just don't take prakim of Tehillim and throw them onto the tzibur. If you look through Chazal, they were super careful with not imposing more than was basically necessary on the tzibur. And thus, they didn't want to impose even the smallest things to be matriach people. And therefore, the Gra, maybe he would have thought it's a very nice idea to go through the Haggadah and make sure that you're well prepared, but you're not going to call that an official minig, and you're certainly not going to codify that in Shulchan Aruch. That would be the shita of the Pu'ula Sacher. Now, personally, I'm not a huge fan of this understanding of the Pu'ula Sacher. First of all, the Ramah has there's no hint in the Ramah that his concern is for Hilchos Shabbos. Second of all, think about how infrequent the possibility is that you're going to come to violate this. Number one, it has to be a year like this coming year, like this year, where it's Pesach is going, the first night of Pesach is going to come out on Shabbos. Doesn't happen every single year. Happened the last 2 years, but it doesn't happen all the time. Second of all, a person has to be very unfamiliar with the text of the Haggadah to the extent that he doesn't even fit into the Shulchan Aruch's definition that it's Rosh Hashanah. He has to be a big enough Amma Aretz for this to apply to him. Number three, he has to be having his Seder all by himself, that there's not even another person there who could be considered a Shomer. And number four, the Gra in the Gra in the Maisarav, or at least in the Bira Gra, could have mentioned that this is one of those cases where we don't put additional obligations on the Tzibur. Rather, he just points out that this is a violation of exactly what it says in the Medrash. Why would he quote the Medrash and the Haggadah to reject this practice if his real objection was just you can't put unnecessary tirchas on the Tzibur? Therefore, I wanted to suggest a totally different mahalach in explaining the Gra. So this is what we would call a Gra l'shitaso from a different reason. If you look in the Sefer Shnos Elio, which is the commentary, the Gra on Mishnayos, in Maseches Brachos, in the first perek, in the third Mishnah, he writes that, in general, there's a klal in halacha called Yuhara, which is halachic arrogance. Basically, you're doing a mitzvah when no one else is doing it. And the Gra says there is no such klal of Yuhara when you're doing a mitzvah that actually you're being mekayim something while doing it. For example, others would certainly say that wearing tefillin all day, or even in Israel, some people do this, but in America, nobody does this. Wearing tefillin during mincha, when no one else is wearing tefillin during mincha, or just doing a mitzvah that's very, very overt, is an isser of yuhara, halachic arrogance. However, in the Sefer Keser Rosh, which is the similar to the Maiserah, but for Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, so the Keser Rosh, he quotes that the Gra recommended that everyone should wear tefillin all day. And he says it's not an isser of yuhara, and the reason is that when you wear tefillin, you are mekayim a mitzvah every second you're wearing the tefillin. And therefore, anything which is a valid kiyum a mitzvah does not constitute an isser of yuhara. Another example of this would be, perhaps, going into the sukkah and drinking water in the sukkah, right? As opposed to, let's say, the comment of the Rambam that's brought in the Ramah as well in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah, that if a person stays in the sukkah in the rain, he's not doing anything good, and he's considered a hedyot. He's considered to be doing nothing special, to say the least, and perhaps a fool for trying to be mekayim this mitzvah. Masha ein kein, if a person wants to be so machmir that he won't even drink water outside of the sukkah, and he goes into the sukkah, the Mishnah says, black and white, sukkah, sukkah, there is no isser of yorah under those circumstances. And the simple difference being that sitting in the sukkah in the rain, according to the Gra, and there's a raya from the Bira Gra, not the sukkah about this, but is not a kiyum of anything. The sukkah is considered invalidated and not a proper base dira because it's raining in the sukkah. Masha ein kein, a person who eats in the sukkah, even just for drinking water or eating a light snack, is still fulfilling the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. He's just not obligated in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So anytime there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah, that can't be considered yuhara. Now, yuhara is not just about arrogance. The Gra's definition of yuhara seems to be a little bit more encompassing than that. It's much more than just like showing off, because certainly one who wears tefillin is showing off in such a way, meaning he might be doing it completely l'shem shamayim, but it's certainly a very overt way of showing that he's doing the hanhaga tova that most other people don't do. So why is the Gra willing to put up with it? The answer is because the Gra's goal is that a person should be engaged constantly in fulfilling mitzvahs. When there's a kiyum mitzvah, there is by definition no yuhara, because that's our job in this world, to be fulfilling mitzvahs. So if a person is doing something, if it constitutes some kind of limud Torah, constitutes some kind of kiyum mitzvah, then that is considered a good thing. Masha ein kein, if you're doing something which is not a fulfillment of anything, that would be a problem of yuhara, more so than if he would be fulfilling something. The Gra seems to say that anything that's a kiyum is not problematic versus something which is nonsensical, it's not a kiyum of anything, that is problematic, and we don't engage in these types of activities. There are many examples of this in terms of what constitutes a valid minhag and what does not. It's not the right time or place to get involved in more examples of this, but if you look in Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim and certainly from his Talmidim, you'll see that he always tries to equate minhagim to existing halakos that are in Shulchan Aruch or in the Rishonim, and this minhag is a kiyum of this day in the Rishonim, this minhag is a kiyum of this Mishnah, whatever it is. It has to be based on some sort of actual fulfillment of halakha. You can't just be doing an action which has no basis, but it's a minhag because everyone does it. That's not the way he understands things. It's not the way the Gra understands things. The Gra understands that minhagim are specific fulfillments of some sort of existing halacha, but the minhag is that we perform it under circumstances that perhaps the basic halacha doesn't require or didn't recognize originally, but it's a kiyum of something. And therefore, the Gra is stressing that reading the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadol is dafka not a kiyum in anything. So you can't call that a valid minhag. It might be something nice, it might be something smart to prepare yourself, but it's no different than preparing yourself to do any other mitzvah in the Torah. You should always be prepared when you do a mitzvah in the Torah, right? Obviously, many Hasidim talk about the hachana for the mitzvah being even greater than the mitzvah itself. I don't know, you can debate whether that is exactly in line with the thought process of the Gra, but nevertheless, everybody agrees that preparing for a mitzvah is a very, very important thing. So of course you should prepare for the Haggadah. Of course you should know your stuff. But you can't call that a valid minhag if you're going to read the Haggadah at a time where there's no kiyum of anything to read the Haggadah. And thus the Gra was against the idea that there is some sort of minhag to read the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah when we have an overt limud in the Medrash that says there is no kiyum of anything to read the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. So therefore, it's not that you're going against the Ratzon Chachamim by doing it. The Chacham, I'm sure, will be very happy with you for preparing nicely to be ready for the Seder. But that is not the Kiyum. The Kiyum is Dafka, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the Leila Seder. And anything less than that is considered, halachically speaking, a non-event. And thus, the Gra wouldn't say that this is considered a minhag. That's not a real minhag. It might be something you're interested in doing. That's an individual decision that you have to make. But you can't say that the tzibur should get involved in this public minhag of reading the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadol, whereas the Ramah, who doesn't codify a minhag in such a way, the Ramah says a practice that the Jewish people engage in, which is very nice and makes sense and has a reason for it, that is sufficient. And therefore, if the goal is to basically publicize the nes of Shabbos Haggadol, that's a good enough reason we can call it a minhag. Is it a kiyum in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Certainly not. Did the Chachamim require us to do this? They did not. Nevertheless, it's a kiyum of a minhag because this is what Bnei Yisrael started doing in order to publicize the nes of Shabbos Haggadol. The Gra doesn't hold that that's how minhagim work. The Ramah holds that is how minhagim work. And thus, we have this machlokes as to whether or not you can consider it a valid minhag to read the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah.